Hallelujah. I am going to take us through the scripture, which is very familiar, and we are going to see what the Holy Spirit will teach us on that. It is in Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting from verse 13. Matthew 16 from 13. You know, one of the words I received this morning has to do with something that God brought a revelation to me that says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. Do you know sometimes the things you see around you can make you to faint? It can grieve your heart. But the encouragement is that you don't need to bother so much. You need to pray about that matter. If there is anything that is disturbing you, sometimes you look at the church, sometimes you look at our lifestyle. We have talked about it. You know, sometimes the things that you see and hear can cause you to faint. Our brother said that yesterday. You know, in the school, the things that are happening there, you know, there will be a vexation in your spirit. You know, that was what happened to Lot. He said, Lot, his righteous soul was vexed because of the iniquity that he saw in the land. And I think that should be the attitude of anyone who is kingdom-minded. When you see the things around you, the reaction is that you want to throw up. You know, it brings an abhorrence unto your soul. But the solution is, say, pray. We ought always to pray. Brethren, we are going to pray for the church. I'm going to pray for our individual situation and circumstances. Because sometimes the thing we see, and you say, Lord, how long? How long? How long? Have you ever had that experience in your life? After you have finished praying, maybe you come and the conductor, before you know it, you say, Waka. Sometimes you say things that you don't say. So is this thing coming out of me? Or you are there and you are on the queue. Before you know it, something will make you to just move out. And you begin to receive insult. And before you know it, you reply. And you come back and you be saying, Lord, how long? How long will I dwell in this place of emptiness? The Bible says, men ought always to pray. If that is grieving your heart, then we need to pray. We need to pray. And it is in this line that I want to bring a thought to us. Because it has to do with the church and the kingdom of darkness. Say that. Okay, let's go through the scripture so that we can, so we don't jump. From verse 13. Say, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It is significant to note this place called Caesarea Philippi, because something happens in that place. It is noted for something. And throughout the course of his ministry, it came to the point where Jesus is making a declaration. It is in this passage that the word church was ever mentioned. And he is trying to convey a message, if you listen carefully. Because from history, we know that Caesarea Philippi is a place where idols and gods are worshipped to the point where people give their whole life to it. So there was a temple in Caesarea where they say that the gods enter into hell and comes out. It was a gate of hell. was a place where, you know, there's some places they say, don't go to that place. So he said, that place, if you go there and you come out, remember that story Brother Seth told us about the place where a brother went. He said, you want to go and witness there? He said, you have to think twice. He said, people that go there, they don't come back alive. And the man told him that, I am already a dead man. Hallelujah. He said, I am already a dead man. So there's really no point, because my life is already gone. I am living a new life. That was the testimony that Paul had. He said, it is no longer I that liveth. Hallelujah. It's Christ that liveth in me. So Caesarea Philippi was a place like that. You dare not come to that place anyhow. It is a house of juju. It is the house of everything you can think of that speaks of hell and Hades. And it is here that Jesus is making a declaration that he is saying that upon this, the church will be built upon. It's in that place. And brethren, it is very instructive to note that anytime there is warfare, anytime there's a challenge, the only way for you to declare your authority and your intention is to go to that place where the evil lies. You know, many years we've been fighting Boko Haram and everything, but when our new president came, he said, I am no longer going to fight it from Abuja, I am going to bring the headquarters to go to that place. In the place where that iniquity or that oppression or that rebellion, it is the place I am carrying my headquarters to. I must confront the enemy in the place of his territory. Hallelujah. You know, today our brother was sharing with us about the brethren who come from other places. And he said, hey, Zibogo brethren, we are not going to fight this war for you. You are the one that will fight the war in that village. Hallelujah. You brethren from Uyo, Azumini, it is you in that place where you reside. It is you that is going to bring the warfare in that place and overcome the devil there. That's the principle. The principle of warfare is to relate in the place where you dwell. Is to bring the testimony in the place where you stay. Hallelujah. That was the same principle Jesus used. Man fell. Man fell completely. And the only way to redeem man is to become a man. Hallelujah. That's the only way. Because if he had come as an angel, how will that concern you and me? When we are talking about overcoming, he said, but you came as an angel. I don't have wings to fly. Hallelujah. When I'm confronted with matter, something, I just have to do it. I just took my wings. I just fly away from that situation. But he had to come like you and me. He said it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might do what? He might appreciate the problems they are passing through. That's the only way. Overcoming has to do with identifying with where you are. And it's the same thing with the life of Jesus Christ. You know, he was like his disciples. That was the way he was able to impact upon them. So much that when Judas came, there was no way to identify him. He had to do it by a kiss. Hallelujah. I gave this testimony one time when I was training my dog. And it came to the point where they just came newly. They hadn't known me. And I was just trying to talk and make signs. And I was here on top. And the dog was there below. And the dog was looking at me. I was barking. But the very moment I stooped low at the level of the dog, and the dog was very, very approachable to me. That's the principle, that you must come down to the level. We, brethren, let us come down to the level of those that we serve. Hallelujah. It's a principle of winning. It's a principle of overcoming. Because that is the way Christ came. He came so that he can identify with us. Hallelujah. We must identify the people that we serve in every situation, on all circumstances. And so at this point, he had to make this declaration as Caesarea Philippi, because Caesarea Philippi was a stronghold. It was a place where devils were having a feet play. You know, and sometimes today, does it ever bother you? And you see how the devil is having a feet play today. He's running around like a loose lion, inflicting pain on people. People are in oppression because of what the enemy is doing. And God wants to put a stop to that. Hallelujah. He wants to make an end of that by raising a people that will go in the way that Jesus went. It is going to do in the same mindset. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It has to do with the mind. We come to that later, talking about the gates of hell, because the mind is one of it. Hallelujah. And we know that when our mind has been renewed and when it has been changed, we begin to have a different mindset. Because what we got from our parents, from Adam, is a corrupted mind. Hallelujah. So God wants to change all of that in Jesus' name. And he told them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Sometimes we can relate to this. We can relate to this a lot. You know, we are with Jesus and we don't know him. You've been with him for a long time. And that is the thing that brings tears to my eyes. That we've been with him for so long and we don't know who he is. And we have had teachings. We have had indoctrinations from time past. And we bring it in. Do you know that it is more difficult to begin to unwind and take away that which has been stored? It's like you will have a database of something that is not right. And the work is to what? To be cleaning it, wiping it out by the word of the Lord. That we convert the soul. That is what the word of God does. He converts it. He changes from the mindset of the earthiness into another mindset. Because this thing has been corrupted over years. We have ideas. Is it not true? You have an impression. You have a standard. What it means in the society for a man that is accomplished. Is it not true? You must be what? You must have gone to school. You have your degree. You must get some influence in society. You build a house. You come out. You have achieved this. That is the worldly mindset. Hallelujah. Who told you that it is only those things that make a man to be accomplished? So all of these things, they determine our motive, our action, and our lifestyle. And we see ourselves going along that line. Because something has been put. It's like a virus. It begins to multiply. It begins to multiply. And it takes time. That is why when we come here, we just wish we could take away all those things. Even myself, I think I should. Those things that we have learned, that have made our mindset to be in a particular way. Hallelujah. Some of us believe that it's a rapture. One day the bumper will blow. Wow. And people begin to just fly out. And it makes you not to understand the reason for which God has apprehended you. It makes you to be less focused on the point for which God is bringing you onto. And many other things like that. And God is bringing us here to unwind those things, to wipe away those thoughts, so that our mind will be renewed. So who do you think, or who do you believe Jesus is? Is it what Brother Chijoke told you? Is it what Brother Ebere told you? Have you found God for yourself? You must know God for yourself in this place. And in this kingdom of God, this British God says that there is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. You know, the other day in church, we are told that Samuel, he was a child. He was a small boy. And yes, he was able to hear from the Lord. He was in a place where God spoke to him. He was in a place where he had an opening in his heart. The same can be with you. Children, the same can be with you. Young people, the same can be with you. And I wonder why we are not seeing it in our midst. I wonder why we are not opening our hearts. Young men, young women, and all the people that... He said God can speak through you. God can hear from the Lord. He can receive a word from the Lord. We must know God for ourselves in this place as we hear the word of the Lord. So, who do you think he is in your life? Who do you think he is? And it needs a revelation. It needs a revelation. It is not by just staying and studying the Bible. It's part of it. But you need a revelation. We'll go for that and we'll see that. So, they can relate it to anything. John the Baptist, Elijah, and others. Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Sometimes we relate him to be something that is supernatural. Something that is, you know, our brother was sharing yesterday, one big person coming. You know, that type of thing. But he said that I am going to be inside of you. Hallelujah. He said, I will be beside you. I will walk with you. Hallelujah. You know, the disciples had that dilemma. There was that problem they had when he was about to leave. And they were grieved. They were sorely grieved. I said, how can this man, who when we needed fish, he brought fish and gave us. We were hungry and he gave us bread. And we were sick and he healed us. And he said, he is going. And he said, no, it is expedient that I go. You know, that is where we are today. It is expedient that I go. But when I go, I will come back. I will come back. I will not just be beside you, but I will be inside of you. And that is what we are talking about Christ this morning. He's the person of God, the anointing residing inside of you. Our brother was talking about light and darkness dwelling in the same place. You see, the light has come and the light is inside of me. But this light must begin to expand. It must grow. It must overshadow every darkness in my life. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the reading of the word of God, he said, as I look into the mirror, I am being transformed from one glory to another glory. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus expanding in your capacity within you. You begin to have a revelation and you know him as a father. When you know him as a father, then there will be no anxiety. Hallelujah. Do you know people who are worried? It's people who are bastards, who don't have fathers. They are filled with all sorts of problems. But we are not bastards. Brethren, we are not bastards. We have a father. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to us as a father. That we can come to him. Do you know how you relate with your earthly father? I have never seen an earthly father who will see a need in the house and will not try to address it. I have not seen. Sometimes fathers go to the extent of not even buy something for themselves. Sometimes I don't remember the last time I even bought a shoe. I don't remember the last time you bought something for yourself. Maybe the things you have bought 4 or 5 years ago. But you are more concerned with your children. You are more concerned with their welfare. You are more concerned with the needs that they have in the house. The Bible says, if we wicked parents don't know how to do good things for our children, how much more? How much more our Heavenly Father? We must bring this message down so that we can relate with it. And we know that that is the reason why he has revealed himself to us. We must know him. But knowing him takes time. You know, it is the Father that reveals Jesus to us. It is the Father. He reveals Jesus to us. And that was why he said here. Let's look at the scripture. And he said unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? That is a question all of us must answer. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a revelation. Hallelujah. Until now, nobody knew him as this. So it is a significant moment in Jesus' ministry that this revelation was brought forth. Hallelujah. Now let's see what he said further. He said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, hallelujah, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father is the Father that gives revelation. Hallelujah. So we must know the Father. Hallelujah. And he said, before I go further, he said, flesh and blood. That means that it is not human wisdom. It's not by searching and going through everything. Those things are necessary. But beyond that, we need a revelation. Hallelujah. And the revelation of Christ is a different topic altogether. It is so deep. And we need to know it. But let me tell you something. For us to know him, this revelation, there are steps. To know God, do you know what to know Jesus Christ? The Bible says what? Eternal life. Knowing him, knowing in that word no, is that no, as a man, we know a woman. Hallelujah. It talks about intimacy. And he said, that is eternal life. That means that the more I know him, the more I have eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the life of God that has no beginning and has no ending. Hallelujah. Eternal life is God pouring out his life unto you. When we come to this level of intimacy, of knowing God one-on-one, knowing him, at the level where we can relate as a man, we relate with a woman. It brings the life of God into us. And the more I know him, he said, the children of Israel, they knew the acts of the Lord, but Moses, he did what? Yes, Moses was different. We are not going to be in the business of knowing the acts of God, but of knowing him intimately. Hallelujah. Coming closer and closer on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You know, if you come to that point, you will just have an experience that Isaiah had. He said that I will wake up in the morning and he will open my ears to hear the words. I will speak to those who are weary. Every word of God will come straight to you, fresh for every situation. You'll be able to have a discerning spirit and be able to speak the right word that will bring comfort to somebody. Hallelujah. You know, there was one day I just woke up. Somebody just came to my mind. I said, they're just asking the Lord will bless you. The Lord will encourage you. And the man said, how did you know I was in a very bad situation? I needed that encouragement. I was about to do something funny. And the word of the Lord came unto me. And it came in a very few words. Do you know all of you can be part of that experience? Hallelujah. All of us can be part of this experience of receiving fresh bread. You will hear it and you will bring comfort to somebody who is in sorrow. And that is what this body is. The church that God is building. You know the different part of the body. All of them have a function, and is to the edification of the body. It can even be a nail. You know this nail here? Does this nail have any function? What function does it have? Some places I will just use this thing to scratch my back. Hallelujah! You can scratch somebody's back with your nail. Hallelujah! You can scratch somebody. He doesn't have to be standing here to come and say, "Thus say the Lord." Hallelujah! That scratching of the back is a ministry that God has put. So let none of you see that I am useless in the house. Hallelujah! You know, in those days, in the point, they say that you are somebody. Say, we are all somebody. There's nobody here. We are all somebody. Hallelujah. So, that is what God is doing. He is doing it because of what he has said here. You say, blessed are thou. So, each time you do something, God is telling you, blessed are you. Hallelujah. And you know, we need to bring encouragement. He said, brother Jokes, that word you say, that God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's bring encouragement to people. That job that you helped me to get, and my son was in that place. Sister, God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's a ministry. Let us bless those whom God has given revelation and ministry to bless us. Hallelujah. Let us have a heart of thanksgiving. The heart of thanksgiving. Let's thank the brethren. Let's rejoice with brethren. It's a ministry. Don't let it sound too big and far-fetched. It is here with us. And develop it. And the Lord will bring an encouragement to all of us. That is how to build the church. Hello? We build the church by these things I have mentioned. It may be small, but it brings a joining together, a cementing together. Hallelujah. The church that God is building is like this house. You can't come and bring out one block from here. It has been joined with cement. It's together. Nothing can bring it because it has been joined. I've been joined to you. Hallelujah. I've been joined to you in that way. And we see ourselves growing. You know, First Peter said it. You know, living stones. That was why he was talking here about Peter. He said, Peter, you are a small stone. It is with stone small. Small stone that God is using to build the temple. Hallelujah. Small, small stone. I hope you don't think you're a big stone. Hallelujah. If you're a big stone, there's no place for you. But you know, there will still be a place because God will cut you and make you small. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He said, you are Peter, that small stone. Hallelujah! And he said, upon the revelation that came out of your mouth, I will build my church. And at the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah! You know, it doesn't it encourage you that the church that God is building, except it's not the one that he's building. And there are many churches that God is not building today. I just want to tell you that. Hallelujah! There are many churches that God is not building because there is a pattern that God has given us. Is that not the pattern? I've not seen the tabernacle drawn here since this time. I think we're going to draw it. Hallelujah. The pattern is clear. Hallelujah. And we start from the altar of what? Brother. Yes, the brazen altar. We start from the mystery of salvation. It's a mystery. Hallelujah. After that, we go to the mystery of sanctification. Hallelujah. Because the baptism is talking about what? Separation. separation unto God. Then after that, you now enter the holy place. Then where you see union with Christ. Hallelujah. You are united with Christ. Because this church that God is building, it is only through this pattern. It's through this pattern. Then you have the table of showbread where we feed on Christ. We feed on Christ. And remember, that loaf was how many? It was 12. It was not one big loaf. Showing us that it is the ministries in the house that will bring bread unto us. Hallelujah. The ministries in the house. Submit to the ministries. Hallelujah. Let us submit to them because they are raised by God, and you will help them. You pray for them. And by this process, you are receiving the fresh manna. You are being blessed. You are feeding on Christ. And just like we are saying yesterday, whenever there is time for to eat, you can see the what? The rush. And you can't blame them, especially for the children. They need it to do what? To grow. You know, we adults sometimes, because we have sawed all the muscles now and everything, but they need to grow. But even we also need to grow. If you don't eat, you do what? You break down your muscles. We don't want to break our muscles down. Now, spiritually too, why is it that it is not like that? Why is it that we don't rush? Whenever it's time, 9 o'clock, why are we not rushing? Hallelujah! Why are we not rushing? There's something, you know, I know that in medicine, the only way to know a child who is sick is that he will not be able to feed. When a child comes and the mother brings the child, the complaint is refusal to feed. Then you know that's a problem. There may not be fever. There may not be any other complaint. Once I hear refusal to feed, he said, this child is sick. I must admit this child. So, when we are refusing to feed, hallelujah! When we are not like David, say, I was delighted. Okay, yes. So that's it. You know, and we see that there are seven mysteries, and each of them, they speak of something that the church ought to know. And that's why we are saying that you have to be careful who is your nurse. Hallelujah! Now, I don't need to know who your nurse is. I need to know how your lifestyle is. If I see your lifestyle, I will know that your nurse has a problem. Hallelujah! That is what we call making diagnosis. You make a diagnosis. Somebody comes to you. I don't need to know how the thing started. I just need one or two symptoms. Somebody comes to me. He's breathing very fast. I listen. I say, this one, he has something in the chest though. Hallelujah. You know, we can make spiritual diagnosis. And once you know that in this place, that people like this, that they breathe very fast, I'm not going to go to that place. Hallelujah. Or in this place, they say, in this town, people have a myopathy that they don't walk well. Their muscles are broken down. Do you know why? They made a research and discovered that in that land, they have arsenic acid. They have something that they have been drinking for many years and it is destroying their muscle. Would you like to live in that place? I will not go there. Because if I go there, I will develop a myopathy. Hallelujah! I will develop a sickness that will not make me to walk well. Our brother was talking about lameness. Something is causing the lameness. There is something that they are putting in that food. There is something that is not right. There is something that is not of God that is making me to become lame. and I will run away. I will run away. If I go to a motor park and I'm going to Lagos, I see the young shall grow big. I see GMC, very, very big, comfortable. And I see one keke. I say, keke, where are you going to? I say, I'm going to Lagos. With all these big buses, and all this one, and I check and check, no other place, only keke is going to Lagos. Are you going to follow the Mercedes Benz that will take you to Karen and Mother? Or it will take you to Bonny? My destination is Lagos. And the only thing I saw there was a keke. I will join that keke. Hallelujah! Because I am mindful of my destination. I am mindful of my destination. It doesn't matter how comfortable that car may be. Air condition. If it's not taking me to my destination, I will not enter it. I will not enter it. I will enter the bus that is taking me to my destination. There is good news for you. This bus you are here today is taking you to your right destination. Hallelujah! The ministry that we are receiving, we should really thank God, because there is unveiling of these mysteries. God is opening up things, secret things that have been hidden from ages. You know, Daniel is wanted to say, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's not yet time. It is time appointed that we come. And that's why we are the most men blessed, that we are at this time where he says that the glory of the latter house shall be what? Greater than the house, than the former house. So it's a privilege that we are in a place where revelations are being brought and are being made open and being made clear and being revealed in a simplicity that your mind, every child, the kingdom message is not for those in university, it's not for those in higher school, it's for those in the village, it's for everybody, because it is for every one of us. Hallelujah. When we went to Ezebogo and brought tabernacle, it was very eye-opening to know that those in the village can understand tabernacle. Yes. It's just not, God is bringing an experience where he says, I will be with you. God with us. That is tabernacle. God with us. That is the simplicity of it. God wants to tabernacle inside of you. And it's revealed in the person of Jesus. And Jesus wants to stay inside of you. He wants to instruct you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to order your path. That is tabernacle. Hallelujah. We bring it down to where we can experience Jesus in our lives. Hallelujah. So he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. We say that is the Father that reveals Jesus to us. He is the one that opens the way, and we know that without it, we cannot have a full understanding of what is. But you can look at it in Matthew 11:25. He said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. That's why he said, it is not for flesh and blood. It is not by wisdom. It's not by flesh and blood. It's not by anything that has to do with the wisdom of man. That does not mean that those who are naturally wise cannot receive revelation. It only shows that they have to put that thing down. Is it not true? And take the form of a child and humble themselves. They will receive the revelation. Hallelujah. So he said that So he has hid this thing from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Babes. What is one major characteristic of a child? Revealed to babes. We have to be like babes. We have to have a sense that we are nothing. We have to come to the point where there is nothing that I have that can please the Lord. Empty. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The key to receiving the kingdom is to come to the point where we assume poverty of anything that we know. I don't know anything. You come to that state in your heart. Because the greatest problem we have is pride that lifts this up and begins to block us from receiving from the Lord. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we labor with the flesh. You know, the flesh labors. It's a grinding or doing that. But there's a better way of releasing everything and asking God, I don't know. You show me. And you begin to see, come. God is coming in his almightiness, in his awesomeness, to bring revelation unto us. Hallelujah. And we must come to this point in our relationship with one another to build a brotherhood where Christ is central. Brethren, that is the re-revelation. We come to the point where our fellowship is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. And we have a brotherhood joined together on this revelation. And because it is him, it is in him that we dwell and live and have our being. It is in him that the life flows from. It is in him that Jesus is so satisfied God that he wants every one of us to look like him. In heaven, everybody will look like Jesus. Hallelujah! That is the heart desire of God. And we cannot know him except the Father reveals him to us. And it comes on a daily basis, increasing in dimension as we come intimately with him, as we come under this revelation to know that it is crucial. So let our eyes open to see who Jesus really is. Let our eyes open to know that he is the all-sufficient God. Hallelujah. Let our eyes open to see that he is the burden bearer. Let our eyes open that he is the all-sufficient God that can feed us, that can supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Let us know him as the sanctifier. Let us know him as the healer. Let us know Jesus in the body as constituting many of these things that we look for some other place, but it's in the person of Jesus. So if our fellowship has the centrality of Christ in this dimension, then they have to be built up. Hallelujah. And we will receive the flow of life that comes from this revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he went further to say that from verse 6, or let's start from the very beginning. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. Now, the first mistake here is that Eve was having dialogue. He was having dialogue with the serpent. Please, don't ever have dialogue with the devil. Hallelujah! What are you going to do when he comes? Rebuke him! And he will do what? But before you rebuke him, you have to check yourself. Oh. Hallelujah! Before you rebuke him, what do you do? We do what? I will check myself. The scripture says that the prince of this world cometh. And he does what? He findeth nothing in me. When he say, I rebuke you, the devil will be there looking at you like this. Now, like one of this one. Is it not this one that just told a lie yesterday? Hallelujah. Is it not this one that is lusting in his heart? Or is it not this one that is very prideful? It's like Iroko 3. What is he talking about? You remember the sons of Sceva? Hallelujah. He must not find anything in me. He must not find anything in me. And that is where we are coming to. That the devil will not find anything in us. Hallelujah! This is the principle of warfare. If we are going to be overcomers, we must ask the Lord to remove every form of darkness. And that is the ministry that God is bringing to us, to take away every darkness. Or if there is anger in my life. We were talking about the story of Cain and Abel. How did that thing start? That murder, how did it start? How? Who can tell us? How did it start? He was angry in his heart. There was envy in his heart. The seed of murder is what? Anger. That is the seed. That seed that you see in there, that mango tree, in that seed is what? Is the mango tree. This mango tree you are seeing there, it is all inside the seed. So, we are in danger of committing murder if you have anger in your heart. That is as serious as that. We are in danger. If you have lust in your heart, you are in danger of committing adultery. You don't tolerate it. Don't give room. He said, it is waiting at your door. It is waiting. When anger is in your heart, murder is waiting at the door. It is waiting at the door. When lust is in my heart, adultery is waiting at the door. That is the only way I can overcome it. I must think about the full length of what I'm doing. The enemy will not blind my eyes. It will not limit my mind to see the end of what I'm doing right now. I must have an overview of everything. I must ask God to reveal to me this step I'm taking, where will it lead me to? And I will not attempt it by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So, that is where it starts. It started from the beginning when there was a dialogue between Eve and the serpent. Now, let's go further. He said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Have you seen how he's trying to twist the word? The Bible says, beware of the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? The guile, the deceit, the upturning the word, you just twist it. Beware of it. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, having good, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so that is the first point of the compare both of them and see the similarity. And let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. First John, for some of you, is at the later part of the Bible, not the beginning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Okay, let me start from 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that is one gate, and the lust of the eyes, that's another one, and the pride of life. He say, it is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there are three ways the enemy comes. He opens the gates, the entrance, through which he catches, through which it entices. One of them is the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. The lust of the flesh, when you hear the word flesh, it is not this meat that you see here. Hello? Hello? When he's talking about this flesh, it's not this meat. The flesh is a mind that is not with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! When my mind is not thinking in God's way, when my mind is occupied with earthly things, then the Bible says it is flesh. And a little wonder we see problems in our lives, because that gate, I think, is the widest gate. It is the widest gate. And we can see it through what is happening today. The other day, George Jesus was talking about hell opening his mouth. I think it's through the mind, because the hell has been opened. The internet is a different ball game altogether. Many things. Some of you are here. You are trading in Calabar. You are right here, but you are seated somewhere in your father's house. That meeting they called and say you must be there. I'm not going to be there, but once in a while your mind is there. It's a gate of hell. Hallelujah! And it is so wide. The expanse of it is unimaginable. And that's why God wants to deal with it. God is bringing the word judgment upon the fleshly mind, upon our minds that are not tuned to God, that are not being renewed. That is one of the ways the enemy enters. You are here, you are thinking, you are all sorts of things. It goes wild, and everything. You're thinking of knowledge, you're thinking of things. God wants to bring judgment to that gate in Jesus' name. He said, this gate, it will not prevail among the people that God is raising. The only way it will not prevail, if there is no darkness in my soul. And the Lord is bringing his light. This world is a light. And this light is coming. You know the song that says, "Send a light, send a light, oh Lord Jehovah, send a light into my soul." Let's sing it just once. In the name of Jesus, send a light, send a light, oh Lord Jehovah, send a light into my soul. The light will judge the darkness, and the darkness will not comprehend it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there is going to be a sweeping away, a taking away today, as we are going to submit to God, that every form of darkness, imagination, it's not just the thing, imagination and thoughts that are highly lifted up, that has been like a stronghold in our lives, they are the gates of hell within us that the Lord wants to destroy today. Hallelujah. For deliverance has come to God's people. Hallelujah. Then the other gate is the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Hallelujah. You know, David said that, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." Hallelujah. You make a covenant with your eyes that you will not behold any iniquity. You will not behold iniquity. Hallelujah. I am going to make it in such a way that I don't see any other woman except my wife. Hallelujah. No other woman for Chijoke except Ife. No other woman. Hallelujah. For Brother Ken, no other woman except this beautiful girl here. Hallelujah. That is what God is doing at this time, making us to have a covenant with our eyes. I will not behold evil. They say, if you look once, that is not a problem. It's when you look the second time. Is it not true? As you are just driving, you are driving. Somebody will just see, seeing something. You are driving, you are looking like this. You are still driving. You know, there was a case of one man as he was driving. Second look is evil. First look can come like an accident. But no matter the attraction, see, let me just see that dress. Let me, it looks like it's a new fashion, no? Let me just see that dress. Hey, that girl is tall. How tall is she? You look again. Then after that, what of where the girl lives? Hallelujah. One step. You know, it is one thing that leads to the other one. Second look is evil. We are going to make a covenant with our eyes that we shall not behold evil. You know, there are many things, not just in terms of the opposite sex, many things. Some of us, when we go to shop, every time we are just, this our eyes, the latest fashion that has come. Hallelujah. Window shopping, you don't have the money, but something is registering in your heart. Because the next morning that will come, you have done a project and they have given you extra cash. Now let us go and see that dress now and see how we can get it. Or it can even be a car. You just have the attitude. Any new thing. It can be a phone. The latest phone. What? That is the latest one now. IX something. You know, the children, they are the ones who are telling us all these things. Hallelujah. The lust of the eyes. They are just checking. The latest iPad. The latest television. They say this one is like theater. You are bringing the world. You know one man? He was just praying and asking God to help him. He said, "I want to buy a television. But I don't know. But I can also listen to news. I can do other." He was just meditating and praying until he went to somewhere and they were doing the advert. He said, "Sony brings the whole world into your house. Into your home. He said, Sonny is bringing the whole world into your home. Say, yes, I think God has answered my prayer. Let the world not come into my home. Let the world not come into my home. And is it not true? They are bringing the world into our homes. He said, you don't want to go to theater. And I'm not going to Genesis. I'm not going to Genesis. I'm not going to Silver Bed. But you have it in your home. It is there with you. May God help us. Amen. The lust of the eyes. That God will cause us to make a covenant with our eyes. That we will know what we should watch. We should know what to purchase by the things that we see. You know, we are talking about the church that God is going to use to judge Satan. That the devil will not prevail against. It is a people that God is bringing out. Is it not true? He said there is a church within the church. Ecclesia and Ecletos. We know all of those Greek words. But the simplicity of it is that God is bringing us out. This church, God is bringing us out. And he started from the beginning when Abraham was brought out. It's the same principle. He said, come out of your nation, out of your kindred, out of your culture. For those of us from the village, age grade, God is asking you, come out of your age grade. Hallelujah. Come out of the age grade. All these things, they conflict your faith. You'll be arguing with them. You will stay there. They say, let us pour libation. You are there as a witness to submit to the spirit of the world. You are there with them. He said, no, I don't do that. When they are doing that, I'm apart. But there was a table that has been set. In any gathering, a table is set. Which is the table? Is it the table of the Lord? Or of the devil? That is one principle you must use to judge where you should go. Which table is set in that place? When the table is not of the Lord, you don't have any business to be there. You don't have any business to be there. You can pretend and say, I'm not part of it. I don't do what they do. But there is a covering that is over you. And you are submitting to that spirit. I cannot go to a place where somebody, they are wedding to somebody, and the person is pregnant. And they are doing that. I will not be a part of that meeting. Because I'm a witness to ungodliness in that place. Whether you can argue about it or not. There are places you should not go. Because a table was set. And has been set in that place. And if you go there, you are partaking of that spirit. The message is to come out. And it has the different dimensions of coming out. May God open our eyes and give us revelation. So that we not partake. Let us not partake. With the things of the evil world of Satan. We are not partakers. We are partakers of God. We are partakers of godliness. We are partakers of eternal life. We are partakers of his divine nature. We are not partakers of the rudiments of these things of this world. For they don't give life. They rather take from you. They bring you down. And the scripture is telling us that come out. Come out. That is the message that God is giving us. Come out. And the other gate of hell is the pride of life. Pride. You know, when the Bible says that you make a way, he said the war that is coming, he said he will level the mountains. The leveling of the mountains is the leveling of the spirit of pride. It's a mountain. And when a man is proud, he cannot receive anything from the Lord. He cannot. But rather, when you are humble, the Bible says he giveth grace to the humble. There's a grace that is beyond your imagination. They say that water does what? Goes to the lowest level. Is it not true? When it rains now, where do you find a flood of water? Is the lowest point. So if you want to receive the water of life, stay very low. It will come down to you there. It is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law that a man who is humble, he said, learn of me, for I am humble. I am meek of heart. I am, you know, that is Jesus we are talking about. Learn from me. Learn from me. I am meek. I am humble. And it will bring rest. Many of us are restless because of the spirit of pride. And we will not go far. But the scripture is telling us this morning that one of the gates of hell, the way, you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee said, I am not like that man. I do this. I fast. Sometimes pride can manifest even in ministry. Do you know that? Pride can manifest in many ways. Pride can manifest in being, he said, I am humble, but inside of you is pride. And let me tell you, all of us have it. All of us have it. And we must all go to God. We must all go to God to ask that he will humble us. Because he giveth grace. He said, humble yourself in the hands of the Lord. For in due time he will do what? He will exalt you. Now, exaltation that is in this scripture is not in the way of becoming a king and riding on other people. Exaltation is having authority over the power of darkness. Exalting you is to have dominion, because Satan will be under your feet. You'll be able to release and pray and be able to say, thus say the Lord, and it shall be so, because of the spirit of humility that God will give us to overcome in this time and age. So, pride. I cannot go on to talk about pride because it's so big. God must deliver us from the spirit of pride. What brought the angel in heaven, Heliel, was pride. Because I say, I will go up to the side of the north. It was an ambition of going up. Because that is pride. Pride is going up. And we saw an opposite of that when Jesus said, I will go down. Hallelujah. I will go down. I will go down and will become a man. Not just a man. I will become a servant. Not just a servant. I will become like a criminal. Hallelujah. He was going down every day. And the same thing was found in the life of Paul. Paul said, I am the chiefest of the sinners. He was a man that was humble. And said, I don't merit to have this grace because I wasted the church. Was he the only one that wasted the church? He wasn't. But it was the spirit of humility upon him that made him to be so low. No wonder why God was able to give him such anointing and revelation. That was the secret of a man who brought himself low to the point where he was able to overcome every situation in his life. And he said, I count this thing as rubbish. Everything he has gotten. In this time and age, Paul would have been a man like maybe one of the most intelligent. He was highly intelligent. He was a wise man. He said, but all of those things, I count it as rubbish. And even concerning righteousness, he said he was blameless. He was blameless. Even the righteousness concerning the law, Paul was blameless. Paul was that, like that rich young ruler who said, I have kept the law. I have done everything. He said, but one thing. He was like that man. And yet, he was able to let go. And he came. That was when he was Saul. He was able to come to that point where God could use him. I am praying that the Lord will grant us the spirit of humility. Hallelujah. Let's read that. I think it's in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read that scripture because it will help us to understand one of the weapons we can use against the enemy is to ask the Lord to humble us. That the Lord will humble his church. He'll humble all of us in the different capacity that we are serving, in the different ways that God is using us, that indeed, that we might receive an example of him that is our example, who is our forerunner. He has gone ahead of us, and we can learn from him. Praise the Lord. I think Philippians, or is it 3? It's 3. Okay, it's 2. Okay, yes. Now let's start from 5. He said, let this mind be in you. Now, you see, humility starts from the mind. Humility starts from the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah. Do you understand that statement? He did not think that being God is something to be held onto. He let go. He let go. Jesus was like a rich man, billionaire, who came to one of the squalors, let me say Bundu Waterside, and he came there to live with the people in that place. He did not use his credit card. He did not use any facility. He said, I want to live in this place, in this dirty place. I want to show them I can live a clean life. I want to show them that I can live a godly life in this situation. So he let go all the things. Equality with God. He did not want to grasp it. He let it go so that he can identify with us. So that is the humility. And he said, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now that is the first point. And being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look at what God will do to you, to me, if we follow this pattern. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. That is the greatest weapon. The greatest weapon. He said that he will do what? The name of Jesus. He said he will bring us with dominion with him. Dominion over everything that is named, over any spiritual power of darkness. He will bring dominion. That covenant, that promise that was made in Genesis. He said, have dominion over the fishes of the water, over the birds of the air. That dominion is found in the place of humility. When you are humbling yourself, authority comes, dominion comes over every name that is named, over every name, over sickness, over spiritual darkness, over the power of hell being released in any way. He said, God will give you dominion over all of them. We are encouraged this morning because there's a pathway we can follow. There's a way that has been made for us. And that way is what God is telling us today. That our eyes may open. That we'll be able to stand in times of crisis. We'll be able to resist the devil. We'll be able to rebuke the enemy. We'll be able to humble ourselves. We'll be able to die to self. These are the ways we can judge every spiritual power of darkness. It's dead to self. That's the last. Dead to self. In John chapter 12 verse 24, it says, except a corn of wheat. Let's read that scripture. It's important. John chapter 12, 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Hallelujah! I think that is the ultimate. And that is what we knew from the very beginning of death to self message. Because victory comes from death. Victory. When you die, when somebody has done you so much evil and the person is in trouble, the man, he finished you, your reputation was in the dust, and the man is in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is time to die. God is asking you, that thing you are talking about, death, this is time for it now. You must die to yourself. You must go and rescue your brother. That is the greatest weapon. If you knock that weapon, if you knock it, they say knock. When you knock that weapon, you are going to redeem that man. And you are releasing life. Hallelujah! Do you know that the greatest weapon is love? That is the greatest weapon. One radical Muslim, you cannot preach to him. He will use dagger and finish you. One man of God, say, "This man, I must show him the love of God." You know, something happened and he was the only one that came to help him out. He said, "This Christian man that are preaching all this nonsense, I'm going to follow you to know what is happening there." That was how he won that man. It was love. He said, "Love conquereth all things." There is nothing, there is no barrier. And that is the call upon the church, that all the weapons of our warfare, we are going to put it in place to overcome the wiles of the enemy. May the Lord bless his people in Jesus' name. Amen.